Yeah, come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amazing. Great to be here this morning, and a special welcome from Pastor Shane. He messaged me literally as the service started. He's off in China, meeting with our Chinese church over there with Pastor John. And I know Shane actually would much rather be here, but I did specifically ask him to go over there because we really need to strengthen and build that relationship. But he's praying for a great service for us this morning. So if it's not a great service, tell him that it was when he comes back, all right? We're friends. It's good. But no, seriously, do keep Shane in your prayers, please. It's difficult. And the Chinese government are increasingly making it difficult for Christians in that country. So please pray for the protection of both Shane and John. Well, great to be here on Easter Friday. And of course, such an epic moment in the church calendar. And, you know, as we know that the sun rises first in New Zealand on this new day. And it's almost like you can imagine a Mexican wave of praise going right around the planet as churches everywhere, as the sun rises, as services begin and people begin to praise and worship. It must be an extraordinary thing from God's perspective today. We're going to talk today about the God who knows the way. You know, it's the strangest thing about getting older. It may just be me, but I've noticed that over the last decade or so, I think about death more. Which is a wee bit macabre, really. I think it's exacerbated, I'm sure, by the fact of my vocation. You know, that being a pastor, you tend to see that a little more. You tend to walk with more people on that journey towards that final day. And you find yourself looking in people's eyes. And they know that this is where this is going to end. And you know that this is where it is going to end. And there's this unspoken thing. There's this thing of, okay, how do we do this? Because we haven't walked this part of the journey before. We're not sure how this rolls out. We don't know the way. Who does know the way? And it's not just about dying, is it? It's not just about that. It's life. Facing experiences on this journey of life as we're trying to follow Jesus. Facing experiences that we haven't faced before and wondering, how do we do this well? How do we do this right? What is the way? Who can I look to? Let me illustrate. Katie, our youngest daughter, has decided it's time to get rid of her old car, which has done many, many kilometers. And so just last week, we put her old car on Trade Me, super cheap. Just want to get it gone. And we had several interested parties, and then this one guy, he rang me up and he really wanted it, so we bought it, brilliant. But then over the next 2 days, he wouldn't get back to me. He wouldn't return my messages. He ghosted me. And finally, as my frustration was growing, I managed to make contact, and he just told me, no, he didn't want it now. And he wasn't going to follow through on the sale. Is anyone else feeling my indignation? I couldn't believe it. I mean, and it was interesting, right? Because I got really angry. I was angry and I was disappointed and I was frustrated. What do you do in that moment? Who do you look to? And of course, I had several options when I thought about who I could look to with how I should respond to this. I thought I could look to Liam Neeson from the movie Taken. I could have called him and said something like this. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. I don't have money, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you buy my daughter's car now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you and I will kill you. Like we could have gone that way, right? Or I could have looked to another no-nonsense guy, Russell Crowe from Gladiator. I could have sent this guy a message like this. My name is Mikeyus Davidus Griffidus, ex-lead pastor of the Church of the City, executive pastor of the Elam Christian Center Legions, loyal servant to the true senior pastor, Stevus Grenius. Father to a disappointed daughter, husband to a disappointed wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. Or perhaps I simply could have gone for some reverse psychology from Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men. You don't want the car, you can't handle the car. So who do we look to? Who knows the way? Let me read to you from the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus speaking. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way. Now it's fascinating what Jesus says here to his disciples. And of course that means to us, right? Everything that was written in the past, it says, is written to teach us. What he says about things that are ahead of us, about things that we feel we don't know the way. And the first thing he says is, don't let your hearts be troubled. Now that's so interesting, right? He says, you trust in God, trust also in me. He's saying it's a decision. Ignore the thoughts that nag and niggle you. Shut them down. Do not let yourself be troubled or stressed. Instead, make the decision to trust me with what is ahead. Specifically, trust me, Jesus says. Don't feel troubled, trust Jesus. Don't be stressed about things that are ahead, about which you don't know the way, trust Jesus. Don't be afraid of the future, trust Jesus. Now why? Because the second thing is that Jesus says, I am going there. I'm going there and I'm going to come back as well. And when the time is right, I'm going to take you to where I am. And we're going to be together. And the disciples are like, no, we don't know the way. This is absolutely crazy. And we're being very stressed about this. And you're not being clear with us. And what is going on? How can we know the way to somewhere we've never been? And of course, Jesus says, and this is the third thing. He says, it's not just that I know the way. I'm the creator. I thought up the way. I made the way. The way is me and I am the way. And I think that is profound for us as we go forward. As we face things that are still in front of us, things that maybe concern us, the great good news is that Jesus knows the way. He knows the way through anything you are facing and everything you are facing, all the way through your life to the very point that you face death itself. And he knows that way as well. He made the way. He went the way. He is the way. So how does this work? What do we do with this in real life? Well, last year, most of you know I did the Coast to Coast. Most of you know because I keep telling you. And some of us here have done it. It's a very iconic multi-sport race from the west coast of the South Island all across the east coast. 243 kilometers. Did you hear that? 243 kilometers. Up and over the Southern Alps, running, kayaking, cycling. It's quite an epic event. Now, every section is challenging, but the run section up and over Goat Pass over the Southern Alps is particularly challenging because most of it is not a track. Most of it is a river. And you have to run up this river, and then at a certain point, you have to go up another river, a Doreen Creek. It's just a creek, but you've got to pick the right one. There's other rivers coming in multiple times. You've got to pick the right one, and you've got to get up there. That's what takes you up to Goat Pass. There's no track. And many times over the years, people have missed it. They've got lost, and they've lost minutes or sometimes hours trying to find their way. And so social media forums for people doing the coast to coast, there's one question they always ask, right? And the question they always ask people who have done the coast to coast before, all the organizers, is they ask the question, how do I find the way? on the run section, when we're trying to get up over Goat Pass, how do I find the way? And it's fascinating because this is the answer they always give, and I've seen it multiple times. They say, follow the wet footprints. And guess what? It totally worked. There were several times when I could not see the way to go forward. I'm surrounded by massive boulders and a stream and there's bush everywhere. And I'm trying to work out, how do I get up there? How do I get around there? Which is the right way to go? And I remembered what they said, look for the wet footprints. And I did. And in every case, I could see, if I looked carefully enough, the wet footprints of the person who had run there just before me. And I found the way. Did you know that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter gives us the exact same approach. He says, follow in his footsteps. Look for his footprints. And today, Easter Friday, I want to celebrate this. I want to celebrate the fact that we have a God who came into this life and left his footprints for us to follow, to show us the way, not just the way to and through death, but in every avenue and aspect of our lives, every season we will face, every challenge that we come across. And if you're like me and you find yourself sometimes in this world confronted by difficult situations, and the shout of the worldly way to deal with things is so loud, and yet there's something in you that says, no, that is not the way to do it. Do not call that man and pretend to be Liam Neeson. That is not what Jesus would do. Jesus has left us his footprints to follow if we will look for them. Are you faced with difficult career decisions, difficult family decisions, difficult financial decisions, and you just don't know the way through them? Remember that Jesus had to leave his career behind to go forward into what God called him to do. He had to deal with family and friends that didn't understand what he was doing and did not believe in him. He had to trust God to provide for his needs and the needs of his 12 every day for 3 years. How do you find your way through that? Consider Jesus. Go and look for his footsteps. We have a God who knows the way. Have you been let down by people and you're struggling with unforgiveness or disappointment and you just don't know the way through it? Jesus too was let down by people, and not just by people who were his enemies. Sometimes he was let down by his friends. How do you find your way through that? Go and consider Jesus. Look for his footprints. You'll find the way. We have a God who knows the way. Are you faced with loss and grief and pain? Jesus lost all things. He lost his career, he lost his friends, he lost his future, he lost his strength, and ultimately he lost his life. How do you find your way through that? Go and consider Jesus. Look for his footprints, the things he did, the attitudes he showed, and you will find the way forward. We have a God who knows the way. Are you facing health issues? Are you facing death itself? Are you deeply troubled by that, which is completely normal? Jesus' body was attacked. His mind and soul were attacked. He was starved. He was beaten. He was lashed. He was forced to carry a heavy wooden cross, losing his strength minute by minute and knowing it was only going to get worse until he died. How do you find your way through that? Go and consider Jesus. Look for his footsteps. We have a God who knows the way. Let me give you two examples as the team come up this morning. You know, in life, one of the great difficulties that we can face as we age, or when we go through significant illness, or through burnout, or through significant mental health struggles, is that sometimes we can be faced with the fact that we can no longer do what we used to be able to do. And that can be very distressing and very disturbing. You can no longer carry what you used to carry. How do you find your way through that? Well, let's consider Jesus. Let's look for his footsteps. You know, for probably a decade and a half, commentators tell us that Jesus was a carpenter. He handled wood. It was his thing, right, as a carpenter. He shaped it, he built it, he carried it. I'm sure he was an extremely strong man. Wood was his thing. Now let me take you to the day of his crucifixion, John 19, 16 and 17. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. But Luke tells us that something happened on that journey and Jesus could not carry the cross. Luke 23, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Well, what happened? Well, Jesus has been beaten and lashed. He's bleeding profusely. He's been through astonishing torture and pain. He just doesn't have the strength anymore. Jesus, who handled wood his whole life, now finds himself trying to carry a cross of wood that was more than he could now handle. And someone else had to carry that for him. Let me ask you, is there something that you have always handled, always carried with ease, but now in this season, for some reason, you can't handle that anymore? You can't carry that anymore. How do you find your way through that? Well, let's look for Jesus' footsteps. And we find Jesus, who then allows someone else to carry for him what he had always been able to carry. And so for every one of us, we will at some point in our lives find that the very thing we handled our whole life now becomes something we can no longer handle. And if we follow Jesus' example, we need to let someone else carry what we've always carried and handle what we've always handled. And you know what? That's okay and that's necessary. And it's interesting. Jesus didn't beat himself up about it or feel guilty or be distressed about it. He handed it over and he focused on what was ahead. And we can do the same. We have a God who knows the way. If you are in that place for whatever reason, follow Jesus' footsteps. Hand it over. Get your focus back on what is in front of you. You know, the other example I want to share this morning is my silly, petty example of trying to sell my daughter's car. When this guy let me down, and it was unethical, and it was a complete lack of integrity, and I got lots of judgment I could apply to this guy. And I was troubled and frustrated, and then I thought, how do I find my way through this? Look for his footsteps, Griff. Consider Jesus. And I thought, was Jesus ever let down by people? Let down by people who committed to him and then walked away? And I thought, gosh, he was. And I think of those who came to him and said, I'm going to follow you, but I've just got to go back and say goodbye to this person. I've just got to go back and do this. And they never followed through. They committed, but never followed through. And I think, did Jesus get upset? When I read the scriptures, what did Jesus do with that? And I see that Jesus just did a couple of things. He didn't tell him off. He didn't judge them. The amazing thing is that Jesus just moved on. Like he just moved on and put his focus on the next person that was in front of him, the next need that was in front of him. And I thought, okay. So maybe I don't need to be troubled by this. I don't need to be frustrated or annoyed. Maybe I just need to let it go and move on and get my focus on the next thing. And this guy, he's going to live with the consequences of his commitments or lack of them in his life. That's not my business. What happens if I just follow Jesus' footsteps? And so I just let it go. I just moved on. I focused on the next thing, which was relisting Kate's car on TradeMe. And the first thing that happened was that peace returned. My peace just kind of flooded me. It was just, which was amazing and lovely. And I forgave the guy and released him from my judgment. I moved on, and it felt remarkably easy. And I guess that's what Jesus felt too. The second thing that happened was as soon as I focused on getting it on Trade Me, literally the moment it went live on Trade Me, someone bought it on the buy now in about 7 seconds. Like, I didn't even get a chance to text Katie, hey, baby, I put the car back up on Trade Me. Like, it was gone. And I was like, oh. Here I was spending days frustrated, angry, wondering what I should do, wondering how to respond. How do I get this guy to pay the money? We have a God who knows the way. Look for his footsteps. And today, on Easter Friday, we are reminded powerfully that he knows the way, all of the way. And we can trust him and follow him all the way, because he promised, even speaking about death, that he knows the way and he knows what comes after, and he will come back for us. I love the story of the passing of Pastor John Booth, Daryl Booth's father. Daryl Booth is a pastor of our Pukekohe campus. Pastor John wasn't in a good way. The family had gathered around John and kind of rallied out of unconsciousness and told each of his kids that he loved them. And then he lapsed back into sort of sleep. And as they all sat there in silence, Daryl said, suddenly his dad's eyes flew open and he looked up and he uttered these two words, "He's here." And then he died. And Jesus said, "I'm going to go there and prepare a place, and then I'm going to come back for you, and I will take you there." We have a God who knows the way. And so today, despite the events of the day, Easter Friday, what went on for Jesus, we know that it is a good Friday because it reminds us that we have a God who knows the way. And so today, we rejoice. We be thankful because he is the one who shows us the way. We can take hold of him, and we should, because he reminds us that he is the way. And when we don't know the way, we look for his footsteps. We have a God who knows the way. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you on this day, Easter Friday, that we have a God who knows the way, all the way. And so whatever it is we're facing in whatever season of life that we are in, may we look for your footsteps and find the way. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we close this morning, we don't want to move on from this moment without saying, if you're here today and you're not right with God, maybe you've never taken that step of putting your faith in him. Maybe you have, but things have happened and life has happened. And if you were to answer the question, are you right with God right now, you know you're not right with God. I just want to say a few things to you this morning quickly. Firstly, God loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He loves you. He wants you to know him and experience his plan for your life. The Bible also says in Romans 3:23 that actually all of us have sinned. We've fallen short of God's glory, fallen short of the standard he has for us. And it's that sin, it's our sin, that keeps us separated from knowing and experiencing him. And that's why Jesus came on this day 2,000 years ago and died on the cross for us in our place, taking our punishment, taking that offense away that God might forgive us, that we could know him and experience his love and plan. And in John chapter 1, it says, to all those who received him, simply to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Is that you this morning? If you need to get right with God this morning, if you want to get right with God this morning, I'm going to lead everyone in a prayer in just a moment. I just want you to pray this after me. Between you and God, it's just a prayer of saying, hey, I acknowledge I'm a sinner, but I put my trust in you, just like the thief on the cross. I prayed this prayer when I was 22 years old in a gas station on Manukau Road, 2 a.m, changed my life forever. That's you. If you want to get right with God this morning, why don't we pray this together? Here we go. You can pray after me. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Dear God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die in my place. I admit that I am a sinner, that my sin keeps me separated from knowing you. But I choose today to believe and trust Jesus that you did that for me too. That my sins have been paid for. And that God, you forgive me right now. Jesus, I receive you into my heart and my mind and my life. I believe in you. I make you my Lord and my Savior from this moment on. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me new. Help me know and experience your love and your plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen.